WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
There's like 15% of you that are just like, oh.
These nerds are at it again.
The nerds are at it again with this show.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Like, you have a deck of playing cards, and the Bills' hand was four Yu-Gi-Oh cards. That's what happened here. And they're not even good ones, like a Karibo.
It's like that you have the four pieces of Exodia, but like one of them's in your graveyard, so you really can't do anything with it.
It's time to do
on WGR Sports Radio 550.
The nerds are at it again.
I'm so happy that the two opens that I'm a part of are this and the Skyrim one.
Oh, and the eating microphone.
That's less nerdy, but that is three nerds.
That was
three nerds.
Three dorks down. That was the title of the show.
Oh man, that was a great comment.
Exactly.
People love us. People love the nerds.
The nerds love us, and we love all of you. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer back in the chair. TJ Luckman making a return. Evans on the board. And did some stuff happen while we were gone? I think so.
There might be some minor housekeeping details.
We got ourselves a loaded show here today, people. Lots going on, because there is a lot going on. And this is kind of a tricks of the trade sort of thing, and something I just like to talk about just for fun. This is probably the easiest show I could ever plan. We have plenty of guests. We have our two bits that we need to do. So there it is. We've got Greg Thomsett, we've got Rachel Hotmire, and we've got Chris Ostrander that we're going to be talking to today. We've got Booty Cheek of the Week. We've got Mock Draft Simulator. We've got ourselves a show today. And if you want to try to squeeze in, 803-0550 is the number to call. You can always hit us up on Twitter. I'm at DerekKramer49, or you can tweet at the station at WGR550. TJ may want to be left alone or not.
Come at me. At SETI Riot. Let's trade some.
Let's have a day.
Thoughts. Yeah.
Let's have a dang day, baby. TJ's staring right at the wide receiver big board, by the way, that was constructed by Jeremy and Joe.
I was going to say a huge shout out to them for making this real easy for me. I don't have to bring up a website or anything and find out.
Yeah, all I have to do is turn my neck slightly to the right.
Like a permanent visual reminder of who we're dealing with here and what's at stake.
I got cookies from the main break room.
That's huge.
And they're still soft.
That's
so
big.
Yeah. Like the stale donut open was my fault. I didn't check the quality of the food before trying to eat it. And my stomach had the rumblies the entire day. These cookies are soft.
I'll be honest. I had one of those donuts, too, after you warned me. I was fine. There's nothing bad happened. So I don't know what my stomach's made of, but...
Steel.
Yeah, apparently.
There you go. All right. Well, we got ourselves through our nonsense in our introduction here today. Because now it's time to go to the Western Hotline. We go to one of our frequents when it comes to guests, one of my favorite people to talk to. He's part of Cover One, and he does know some hockey, even though the hashtag's there at this point. It's Greg Thomsett of Cover One, here to talk some Bills and some draft.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Greg, we're less than a week away from the NFL draft. It's reaching its fever pitch. I'm kind of done being on the wide receiver train. It's been moving too fast. I've got motion sickness at this point. I think it's going to be nice to finally get to the station and be able to get off.
Yeah, it's certainly time. We try to pace ourselves in the off season, and Cover One will go through like free agency, and I don't start doing mock drafts in January and things like that. So I waited, and I'm still done with it. I'm still so ready for Thursday night to get here. I just want to find out who it's going to be, and then I'll dive in and learn all about that person. But the guessing, my brain is going to explode.
And that is part of it, the guesswork about all of this. I've shifted my philosophies even when it came to the wide receivers and the need of the position. I at first was like, okay, I'm team trade back. Go ahead and grab yourself some more picks. Try to then will yourself into the third round. And then when they traded Stephon Diggs, I kind of got a little more on the opposite side of, okay, what do I have to give? In it could include my left arm in order to go grab Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunza, or Malik Nabers. What's it going to take to get up there and grab one of those guys? Because I'm in on that conversation now. And everything in between. Greg, I'm going to ask for your preference and then what you think will happen when it comes to the Bills' ideology of getting a wide receiver in this draft.
So exact same space that you were in, and honestly, a really similar kind of thought process and in arc, you know, of thinking. I can't deny, you know, you guys know me and anyone who follows me on Twitter, like I can't turn off the math part of my brain. I see the hit rates on doing things. I'm a big proponent of, you know, hey, don't pretend that taking, you know, one step closer to the dartboard is how to get a bullseye. I want more darts. Give me more darts to throw. That's how you hit a bullseye. And, you know, that involves trading back. That involves being smart. That involves not having the hubris of, hey, I know which guy is going to be the guy, and I'm going to go up and get that one because I'm smarter than everybody else. There's so much data that tells us that that's not true. Also, I really want to trade whatever it takes to go up and get one of these guys because I know which guy is going to be the one and that I want them on my team right now. And it's just impossible not to think that this exact same thing happens to Brandon Bean and, you know, Malik Boyd and Terrence Gray and like really smart people in that front office who do this for a living, because it's human nature. Like when you watch Marvin Harrison Jr., it's really easy to tell yourself there's no chance this guy busts. There's no chance. He's going to be good no matter what. There's no chance that this guy's going to bust. He is absolutely going to be the guy. And how do I tell someone that's wrong? It looks right. Like that looks accurate. And, you know, yes, it would take a king's ransom. And if you look at, you know, all the trade value charts and historical reference, and honestly, it would take this year's first and second, next year's first and second, and maybe something else. And if you tell me that, hey, we got to give that up, well, that's crazy, but I'd also spend the next 3 days watching 72 hours straight of Marvin Harrison Jr. highlights and tell myself that, hey, this is great, we got this guy. And then on one side, you have people telling you that, oh, my God, you just gave up the entire future of the team. We're not going to have any more premium draft picks for going forward. And that's right. And that's, you need those cheap contracts. You need that, you know, rookie contract production. But what if those picks are – Kyir Elam and Cody Ford and Boogie Basham? Like, I, you know, it's just, I can tell myself whatever I need to hear on both sides of it, because there's a case to be made no matter how you do this. So, you know, it is a king's ransom. It is probably too much. And also, I'd get my head around it so quickly that it would be funny.
Greg Thompson, Cover One, joining us here on the Wes Herr Hotline. Greg, when it comes to all of these possibilities, there are options no matter what. If you go up to if you try to get aggressive, there are the big three, Harrison, Adunze, and Nabers. If you sit at 28, there are players like A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas, maybe even fall that far, or he's probably more likely the middle of the first round kind of guy. But then there's Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy, there, Troy Franklin. There's so many receivers that if they sit around 28 or in that area, that's an option. Or if they trade down, there are other players you could add to that mix, like Keon Coleman, or it just, the head's spinning. I don't know what to think anymore. There's even the possibility of double dipping, and it's just so many receivers that we've been looking at here. It's almost like playing whack-a-mole.
Well, I'll even add in another option, because we already don't have enough to worry about. I think there's a very real, you know, I like to throw around the non-zero chance. I think it's even a little more than a non-zero chance that we see a trade for a veteran. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that's crazy. And I think, obviously, everyone's mind goes to the two most public ones, which is Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins. And, of course, those are the most exciting. There's a lot of salary cap and financial limitations to doing that that would make it very, very hard. However, they can make it happen if they want to. They would have to restructure and play with every single thing that's not bolted down, but they could make it happen if they wanted to. There's also some that are a notch down that are not going to be as exciting, but are probably more likely, where you talk about a Cortland Sutton out of Denver or a Tyler Lockett out of Seattle, where you could make some of that work for a lower draft capital and all of a sudden give yourself a little more flexibility. I think an Ayuk or a Higgins would be going into the draft. Those teams are going to want a premium pick. They're going to want it. They're going to want that first round pick. They're going to want pick 28 to get one of those guys. But what if the right guy falls? What if it's just an unbelievable value we can't turn down, and that, oh my gosh, we thought Dallas Turner was going to go top 10. How did he get to pick 28? We have to take him. He's a game-wrecking pass rusher. We'll take him there. And then all of a sudden you're taking a good receiver in the second round, but it's a Roman Wilson or a Ricky Pearsall. Well, all of a sudden Saturday morning we hear, hey, the Bills have reached a deal with Denver to acquire Cortland Sutton, or Seattle to acquire Tyler Lockett. And all of a sudden now you have a combination that can make sense. So I do think it's a lot of options to go through, and I do feel confident they're going to come away with, I genuinely think, more than one wide receiver, but that list is so broad. Like you said, whether it's a huge trade up, a small trade up, sitting there, heck, there's a pretty good argument that the depth of this wide receiver class is so strong that some teams might know, hey, we can get our guy in the second round. We don't need to reach in the first round. You might be able to trade down a little bit and still get a really good receiver and maybe get ourselves back into the third round. And, you know, there's just so many combinations, so many options. I need it to be here. I need it to be over with.
Greg, I think that is that's probably the most exciting thing about Thursday and throughout the entire weekend is going to be the fact that it will be done with. We don't have to speculate anymore. We have to just see what they do in return. Greg, when it comes to other options, though, within the first round that aren't wide receivers, some of your go-to guys, and TJ's looking at me like I accidentally read his mind.
Sure did.
So, TJ, I'll let you ask the question since I ended up telepathically on accident going and grabbing it.
That's okay, yeah. So heaven forbid that the wide receiver that the Bills want isn't available. What is another area that they might try to target with their pick? Ultimately, I think they'll try to trade back, but heaven forbid they don't go wide receiver here. What else are we looking at for what they're trying to pick in this draft?
So I usually look at it. There's always a combination of purely based on need, which I'll list off some things here in a moment. And then you do have to take into account the positional value and what's there, because, you know, hitting on a left tackle is more valuable than hitting on a guard. Hitting on a cornerback is more valuable than hitting on a safety. Hitting on a defensive tackle is more valuable than hitting on a linebacker. And those are analytically proven things because we see it in every contract. We know how teams value positions. That's not just some philosophical thing. We see it with their paychecks, and we see it with how teams spend in free agency. So when I look at the Bills lineup, there's a couple spots where I ask myself, I think being like every single year goes into it and obviously at least gives a passable option that we don't have gaping holes. And I think you can make a pretty good argument that we have a pretty gaping hole at outside starting receiver, especially after the Diggs trade. Most people thought we needed a receiver before the Diggs trade. So obviously we'll set that aside. That's a pretty clear, glaring one. But then you look at, you know, David Edwards went from a very nice, versatile backup who is our sixth lineman in jumbo to now has to start every game at left guard. You go to, hey, I like Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp. Those are really nice, versatile pieces. Are we ready for that to be our starting combo at safety? You look at, hey, I love Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones as our starting defensive tackles, but, you know, I don't know a ton about Austin Johnson and Deshaun Williams. And, you know, do we need another piece there to really impact quarterbacks? The same thing. We let Leonard Floyd go. So now that's expecting a lot from AJ Epenesa and whatever is left of Von Miller. So you look at those positions and I try to figure out. So right now, if we lined up opening day was tomorrow, you would have David Edwards, Taylor Rapp, or Mike Edwards, whichever you want to choose, and AJ Epenesa in the starting lineup. Which one of those would have the most impact by upgrading? And, you know, I think you get into now a debate of, well, AJ Epenesa is probably the best player out of those three, but defensive end is the most valuable position. I think that we would benefit the most from upgrading interior offensive line, whether it's a guard directly for David Edwards or whether it's a center and Connor McGovern just stays at guard. I think that protecting Josh Allen and doing that makes a ton of sense. It's also one of the easiest positions to fill in the second, third, or fourth round. Look at Osiris Torrance last year and Spencer Brown the year before that. You then look at, hey, defensive tackle is really valuable, but it might be the spot that plays the fewest snaps out of those guys because obviously Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones are going to be there. So that's the kind of, you know, math that the front office is going to be weighing when they're stacking their board, when they're looking at making that decision on draft night in each of those premium rounds. I think that all those positions are the ones they're going to be targeting in the first, second, if we get back into the third or those two fourth round picks. Those first four or five picks that we make, that's what they're going to be weighing is, hey, who has a chance to come in and push somebody for a spot? Who is simply too valuable on the board to do it? Or who has the best position value long-term that it doesn't really matter whether they get on the field or not. It's just too valuable of a spot not to take. And I think that's going to be that balance of interior offensive line, D end, D tackle, and safety. I think those are the four that are in play besides the obvious one at wide receiver. If I had to put my finger on it, I think that, you know, protecting Josh Allen, they saw the value of adding in an Osiris Torrance last year. I think they're okay with David Edwards, but his contract tells me that they're also okay if he's still a backup. I would think the sneaky one that people maybe don't have on their radar as much is they could take a center or an interior offensive lineman at either pick 28 or 60, and it would not shock me in the least.
Greg, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't ask this sort of question for you here. Who are your go-to prospects when it comes to names with pick 28, regardless of position, be it wide receiver or anything else on the what's Greg's big board looking like at pick 28?
So I've obviously plenty of the familiar names that you've rattled off. You know, I'm open to, I know there's some questions on A.D. Mitchell with obviously being a diabetic and some of the things where people question his route running or even his effort in his route running. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a very exciting prospect. I don't know if I have him as definitively fourth as some people seem to, whereas I think he's just one of the guys in that second tier. And the reason I say that is, my fourth receiver is Xavier Leggett, and the guy out of South Carolina. I've seen some people have him as a, you know, late second round pick and things like that. I think he is an absolute freak athlete. He looks like A.J. Brown when I watch him play, and I want a guy who can take a slant, a 6 yard, 7 yard slant, and take it 70 yards to the house while being 6'1 and change, 225 pounds. He's an awesome kick returner, which with the new rules, I think that's a valuable little addition that's, you know, a couple extra touches every game. So that's a name that I think is really exciting. There's another one, Jalen Polk. Every time that I watch Roma Dunze film, I see Jalen Polk making plays. When I watch the national championship and the semifinal game, it sure looked like Jalen Polk was the number one read on an awful lot of those plays. Which tells me who Michael Penix Jr. was trusting, and that I think he's fallen by the wayside and is a very, very good prospect and good player. So those are a couple at wide receiver. Obviously, you know, I don't know that we go defensive tackle, but Johnny Newton is an absolute stud. He's a guy that I would be really excited if they ended up adding. And then you get into the three interior offensive linemen. You know, Bills fans should get to know the names Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, you know, and Zach Frazier. I think that those, they would not be exciting. I think a lot of people would groan and would lose their minds if they take a center with that first pick. Those are guys who you could plug in and they would protect Josh Allen for the next decade. And, you know, I think Bills fans should maybe get to know those names a little bit more than they are right now.
Greg Thompson to cover one here on the West Her Hotline. Greg, finally, the last thing for you here, when it comes to the veteran wide receivers, And you mentioning the fact that, you know, they could be adding one of those and possibly combine it with a rookie wide receiver. Who would be the one that you would target more than likely? I mean, you mentioned Cortland Sutton, T. Higgins, and Brandon Ayuk as your typical ones. And Tyler Lockett's the name that you kind of had my eyebrows raised when you brought that one up.
So that's the one that I would bring up simply because, and again, the math part of it and the financial part of it, I can't turn that part off. He has 1 year left at $4.6 million. It's really cheap. It's easy to add. I want multiple draft picks. I want investment at receiver. But, you know, now I already wanted that before Stephon Diggs left. I wanted that if we kept Gabe Davis. Now with those guys out, just having a consummate professional that gets open and catches the ball consistently, scores touchdowns consistently, someone who does that all the time and can do it cheap while we still invest at wide receiver, that's the kind of move that, you know, we wake up on Saturday morning, day three of the draft, and we find out, oh, the Buffalo Bills have traded one of their fifth-round picks to Seattle for wide receiver Tyler Lockett. That's not going to make a ton of headlines. It would have a huge impact on this season where you can now ease that rookie in, not have them, you know, be forced into some number one target spot. It can open up things deep. I just think that's the kind of prudent acquisition that doesn't cost a ton of draft picks, doesn't cost a ton financially, but would actually help the team a ton and would be a very, you know, John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders type addition that would open things up for the rest of the offense. That's kind of a Goldilocks, you know, just right fit for me. I'd be ecstatic if they go get a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins. I don't know that they want to pay that draft capital. They can kind of get their cake and eat it too. If they still get their premium picks and add someone who impacts the team, that's where a Tyler Lockett makes sense for me.
Greg, we're going to have ourselves a busy weekend next week. You, me, yeah, TJ, all of us involved in this conversation.
Yeah, it's been a ton of work. Everyone has all done all their preparation. I'm excited for the WGR train like everybody else. I think that there's some fun and exciting things coming. I needed to get here. I'm tired of guessing. I just want to know who it is so I can start the real analysis.
Well, here we are, Greg. We're a week away, and we'll be able to get into the nitty-gritty of who will be Buffalo Bills instead of who might be Buffalo Bills. And we'll see what kind of analysis that all of us have from you guys at Cover One, from us here at WGR. Fans will be able to hear quite a lot here in the coming days.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Greg Thompson, Cover One on the West Shore Hotline, as the Bills were a week away from all of it being wrapped up. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not kidding when I say this. The people that are going to be working the NFL draft are the same five people. I'm not kidding when I say that. For Thursday, for Friday, and for Saturday. TJ will be here with us on Thursday and Saturday. Evan will be here with us on Friday. And it's going to be Zach Jones, Nate Geary, and myself. That's it. So I hope you like us, because we're the ones that are getting you through your draft weekend. And I'm excited, and I know that excitement is going to dull by the time we try to get to pick 248, which is like the seventh to last pick of the entire draft.
Your excitement is my "I need this to be over" portion.
I'm saying I'm excited because I have to talk a lot weekend.
That's fair.
So I'm hyping myself up. I'm trying to get there so that, like, yeah, I want part of this to be over. Like, Greg said it, you said it. Like, it's a lot of speculation. But in that weekend, we're also going to be reactive. It's not going to be guesswork. It's going to be, oh, they did this. Or they did this. They took this guy. Like, it's going to be more of reactionary. And that part's going to be a lot better, I think, for us. Instead of having to guess, having to say our preferences, or I want them to trade up, I want them to trade back, I want them to sit right here. Like, it's playing whack-a-mole right now. And they're all just dodging because they're not real picks yet. You're just hitting the damn board with the hammer, and it's just, you're technically not hitting anything. That's what's going on right now. And a week from today, I'll be here in my usual chair at 11 o'clock for 1 hour of sports talk Saturday. Then the draft starts, and it's me with Geary and Zach, and we're taking you through for all seven rounds right here on the radio home of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. When we come back, we could talk plenty more about Bills. We could talk draft, wide receiver big board that's staring me and TJ in the face. It's a lot taller in person. And
yeah, real life size.
Real life size.
I was surprised.
Yeah, like I was thinking it would be the size of the whiteboard over here, but no, it's a bigger sized whiteboard.
Yeah, they went all out for this.
Jeremy went out.
I'm impressed.
I love when Jeremy like has the passion of something because like he is always 100% on it.
Oh, yeah.
And the wide receiver train, he's 100% on it. And I love his passion with things, of ideas, when he really wants there to be a case to be made. So, and here we are. We're staring at a wide receiver board with like vinyl stickers, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The Zubas pattern in the background. Also, the Sabres head coach search going on. NHL playoffs. Alex Morello is a joke. We go over a lot coming up here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, you're listening to WGR.